You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are making a difference, and boy, oh boy, the difference is happening with all that's culminating in the Mayan calendar, mystique, and so on. And our Paradigm Shifter this week is a very exciting guest, or a very exciting group of guests, Ginger Matro and Galexis, a coalescence of wonderful beings of many dimensions. And we can't think of anybody that you would learn more about this shift from than this group of beings. So welcome to the show, Ginger. Welcome to the change in reality.
Yes, you're okay. Hello. It's really great to be here.
It's wonderful to talk to you now, too. Everyone at home, this is a pre-record, and we're actually speaking on the solstice in 2012. And we were just discussing, Ginger, tell people how your nighttime was.
Well, Galexis has been doing a broadcast, and being that today at this time that we record is the 21st, and the Mayan calendar day and the big shift day, as well as the winter solstice, Galexis has offered to broadcast. So they've been doing that starting, yesterday late afternoon, because they're doing it where for the whole planet. So as soon as it goes into the 21st, they started. So they're going to continue until it ends the 21st. So for everybody. So last night I was sleeping, and it was like my body was awake even though I was asleep, because there was so much energy going on, and so much broadcasting going down. And I hope everybody had interesting experiences for the 21st, interesting dreams, interesting shifts, and all that kind of thing. Because from where I am right now, it's pretty hot.
It's pretty, and my body was absolutely pulsing in the night. I got up and did a meditation. Let me ask you this, Ginger. Have you been waking up around 3 a.m.? I know you're like me. You're not much of a sleeper a lot of the time, are you?
Well, I generally wake up about half hour before dawn.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have been waking up around 3. For me, it's between 2 and 3:30 or something, and being awake for a couple of hours.
Well, I did that last night.
Aha.
I was awake around 3.
So I wanted to ask Alexis what that's all about, but I think that that has a lot to do with the shifting. That it's really moving, like you said,
yeah,
the downloads.
Yeah, I think so. And I have a suspicion that there's a lot going on in the night. There's a lot of busyness going on all our parts at night. But Galexis would be able to explain that part.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing their perspective. And what's yours before we call in Galexis? What is your perspective on the shift?
Well, basically, I just kind of go along with what Galexis was saying, which was that it's really not that this is such a pivotal day because of the end of the Mayan calendar or anything, but because this timing is it's a pivotal time. It's a pivotal shift in the middle of a 12-year cycle, okay? And the midpoints of 12-year cycles are very distinct and pivotal. So I'm feeling that something big is going on. Mm-hmm. And this year has been really quite substantial. Galexis went into detail on that, what's been going on all through 2012. But I can feel how the collective is paying attention to this change. You know, it's starting with a couple of years ago, I think it was, that they put out a movie, 2012, which is all about destruction and of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as we got closer to 2012, the predictions got less violent and much more maybe metaphysical or spiritual or whatever. And as we got closer in the year, as we got to the end of the year 2012, it seemed that the ideas about what the shift is about, as people began to realize, wow, this isn't obviously going to be as huge as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be one totally different person and free and ascended and stuff from one day to the next. So they began to be much more reasonable about it, much more looking at it from a point of view that it is a pivotal time, which is what Galexis was saying all along. But it's pivotal because it's a midpoint between 2006 and 2018, which is a 12-year cycle. And the midpoint is always a pivotal place. So it's not the end of a cycle. It's a pivotal midpoint.
Well, what about the 26,000 years and the 5,200 years and all of those cycles? There's cycles and cycles and cycles, aren't there?
Right, there's cycles and cycles and cycles. And what I think is going on is we're really looking at the cycles from what we calculated way back when. And this is also considering the precession of the equinoxes is not entirely always accurate, because there is the equinoxes of the Earth put us into a different frame of reference than we would say that the galaxy has to these changes, and also because we used to be part of another galaxy. We're finally part of the Milky Way, but we used to be part of another galaxy. The Milky Way kind of was as a rogue it was kind of took over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we were a part of a small galaxy originally, but the Milky Way has taken over the past, million years or so. It's like everything happens in slow time and space, of course.
In the blink
but
of an eye.
But if you're off just a few seconds, just a minute, if you're off just a minute, in Earth time, it can become years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in a sense, the cycles as calculated before are perhaps not as important as the cycles being calculated from here.
So what do you think about the rising frequencies? Do you not feel, or do you feel that time is different and that frequencies are moving like mad and things are faster?
Well, that's been true over the past 10 years.
Yes, it has.
It's been picking up.
Yeah, it seems to be getting
faster.
And
there is a new relationship coming with time,
mm-hmm.
And there needs to be a certain transcendence about time, because we can't put ourselves through the linear time stress that much anymore. It's very damaging to us.
Mm-hmm. We've become more capable of attuning to that, to the change, right?
Well, I don't know. I think we're feeling that we're just kind of pushing harder and faster, and trying to get more done in less time, it feels like. And we're not really transcending into the limitations of time. We're trying to work within it, and we're giving our power away to time.
Mm.
And that's what makes it seem that time goes so fast. Also because, as you get older, it just happens that way anyway. For older people, time is moving way faster than it is for children, because our relationship to time is so different.
But I know a lot of children that say everything's going so fast these days. That's what kind of shocks me, because I remember being bored as a child.
Oh, I remember having nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
For days.
And
yeah.
They're having things
well,
go very
I think
fast.
That's kind of it was kind of thrust upon children. I think if you talk to children that are living out in the boonies, right? I don't think they have the same kind of thing, but most of them who are really plugged into the computers and iPhones and that video games and stuff like that, they have already shifted their vibration into this linear time orientation. So they're already like tainted, you might
under
say.
Pressure, so to speak.
Yes, they're already under pressure to achieve, which is what it's all creates that whole thing.
Interesting.
But anyway, Galexis has really been talking a lot about that lately anyway, and the nature of changing of time. And so I think I'd just prefer that Galexis talk to you about that.
I'm looking forward to that, and it's always a pleasure talking to you, Ginger. I wish you...
You're certainly welcome. It's always fun to be on your program
and
be able to speak to your, enlightened listenership.
Yeah, thank you. They love
right,
it.
Well,
they love
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm heading on out then.
See you later.
All right,
thank
bye.
You.
All right, we are here. We are Galexis.
Happy solstice, Galexis. What a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Oh, what a pleasure to be here with you as well.
How exciting
these times are. Quite a day it is that we are recording this show, yes?
It really is. It's an auspicious day. So while we were talking about, Ginger and I were talking about the changing time, how time feels so different right now. What would you like to say about that?
Well, one of the things that that seems to happen is that people think, people have this whole idea, and this just came with the whole linear consciousness and came with linear technology and came with, you know, linear thinking, plotting, planning, you know, and the way of looking at life much more as a linear progression than as cycles. Right?
Mm-hmm.
An organic flow. It looks at, like linear chop chop, right?
Mm-hmm.
That when you tune into that whole linear concept of evolution, progress, and so on, that you're buying into a scarcity of time. Just buying into it, just believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things about time is because time, just like everything else in your 3D reality, time being 4D, actually, it's harder for people to really see time. They can't really measure it because it's outside the 3D reality. So people measure it with clocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Timers.
Mm.
However, we want to point out that 3D reality is an illusion. Physical plane is an illusory, temporary kind of thing. And time is even more so. So what you have is the illusion of time and the illusion of being able to mark time. Now, if you realize that the real marker of time, if you've noticed, is day and night.
Mm. Cycles.
Okay. It's really, you know, the real marker of time, you might say, is much more like a sundial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a sundial can keep fairly accurate time. People who have a really good quality one and can read it, you know, can really be pretty precise as to clock time. But it's also true local time. It's the time wherever they are. It's not the time zone time.
So it's organic time.
It's organic
not
time.
Not GMO time.
It's time that starts where the day starts, you know, with dawn and it ends with dusk, and that there's this night time for recovery, which in the past people would generally go to bed at dark.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't stay up all night on their computers or watching TV or having nightlife and parties and stuff. So as a result, you have people trying to fit in many days into one.
Yes, you do.
And if they don't fit in a couple or two or three days into one day, then they feel that they are lacking in achievement, that they're behind, that they can't get everything done. And there's this whole thing where from an early age now, but those of you who are, let's say, over 45, can remember that time was much more slow when you were children, and it just gradually has picked up kind of a speed. Somewhere for most people in their late adolescence or their 20s, they took on a whole view of their life. They looked at their life as a program. Okay, I'm mm-hmm. going to go to, like for example, I'm going to go to, I'm going to graduate from high school, I'm going to college, I'm going to get my degree, I'm going to go, and if I have to get an advanced degree, I'll go do that. And then after I get all my degrees and certificates and blah, 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 I'm going to get a job, and then I'm going to get, and then I'm going to marry, and then I'm going to have kids and buy a house. And then maybe my first book will come out, or maybe my album, or maybe my, you know, whatever it is, will come out, and then I will do that, and then there will be that, and I will make a difference in the planet, and I will help these people, and I will be a leading light, and I'll be a leader, and da-da-da, and it goes on and on and on, and then I will finally, somewhere down there at the end, very satisfied, fulfilled with loads of money and a really nice retirement set up, I will retire. And
what
and
happened, Galexis? This is not going that way.
And then I'll play golf. Yeah, I'll play golf or whatever. And
take cruises.
And, yes, and take cruises and go visit the grandchildren, right? My RV, right? So there's this whole program that people get on. They get their own versions, admittedly, but there's some common denominators to this program. So that at any point in your life, once the program is in, once it's installed, there is really no allowance for being lazy, for being in organic time. That's always seen as a waste.
Hmm.
Now, people will rebel against that program and say, because I've worked so hard and I made some money, I really want to have some time for me, so I'm going to have this vacation. Now, not many people can actually take a vacation in their home.
That's true.
Because they're there, all trained, that they have to do this errand, that errand, they've got to get this done, that done, and so on, and they got, oh, well, I can catch up on my work, and I can do this, and I can do this extra project, and blah, 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 blah. And so, basically, people feel, okay, we have to do a vacation and leave town and go someplace. Let's go to a Tahiti and hang out on the beach, right?
Yeah.
Or Miami Beach or something. You know, we'll go and then we'll relax. Or some people say, no, we've always wanted to see the museums of Europe, so we're going to go and do a whole tour of museums, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to go see tour vineyards and party and, you know, get drunk. And well, but they have all these programs, in other words, for their vacations, right? So they don't ever really get off the program. They're just focusing in a different aspect of the program.
Mm-hmm. They think they're off it in a way, and yet it's just...
And they think they're off it, but look at, if you're going to do a vacation and you're going to leave town, you have to pack, you have to get your tickets, you have to, you know, some places you got to get shots, you got to get your visas, you got to get all the paperwork done, you got to wrap everything up in your business and everything so that you can clear your schedule, you've got to make adjustments for your pets, and you know, you got to do all sorts of stuff to make sure that you have this time that you can focus on your vacation and not be always concerned about what's going on back home. And so that becomes an extra load of work. And it's an achievement to get all that done and to get on the plane and get off, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yay, I'm on my vacation. And many people get on vacation, and it becomes like, particularly like if you join a tour group, you know, in 2 hours you have to go here, and you get on the bus, and then you go there, and then you go there, and you spend 2 days here, and then you spend 1 day there, and then you... et cetera, et cetera, and it's all kind of organized, and you're just kept on the schedule, dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. So you get on a program, right?
Well, and I think it's very scary for people to let go of programs, isn't it?
People don't know what it's like to be in organic time where it's perfectly all right. As soon as you can go there, as soon as you're off the program, time lengthens. It stretches.
Hmm.
Right? You have a different experience of time. Most people get anxious. They cannot get off the program because if they try to just relax and do nothing, they feel guilty, they get anxious, they get restless, they get bored, they don't know what to do with themselves. Something doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right just to do nothing. Because you've got this program, and you're always behind in the program.
Well, what's the advantage of doing nothing? Isn't there a reset? Is there?
The advantage of doing nothing is that you can get deep into connection with yourself. You can get deep in connection with soul. You can, like you said, a reset. You can totally rethink your life. You can make powerful, empowering, wonderful, personal, loving, caring choices. You can reset, and the most important reset is your motivation. Because once you get onto the program, you know, then you have to keep yourself motivated to stay on the program because it's relentless. It never ends. The program doesn't end.
And success is the carrot in front of the donkey, isn't it?
Yeah. It's always right there, and you're pushed because you got to keep going, and you got to get more done, and there's more to achieve. It really is an achievement program that you set up in your adult, young adult mind fantasy. Okay? That this is what's going to make me happy, this is what my life should be like, and this is where I need to go and what I need to do. But, of course, as a young adult, you have no way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to get there. You're just starting out in life. But you set this whole program out so that you'll be happy. So these are called your dreams, you know, your visions and dreams.
Right? Well, is the whole Mayan shift about shifting that vision and dream and that program collectively?
Yeah, it is. If you want to tag it on there, we call it the pivot, all right?
Okay.
When it's time for you to pivot, you know you're tired of always being on the program. Now, you install somewhere in your 20s. A few people are, you know, slow learners, and they get it installed in their 30s. But you get installed a slave driver, an inner slave driver. This inner slave driver motivates you from guilt or fear.
Okay.
From guilt that you're wasting your time and you're wasting yourself and you are not a good person, you're a lazy bum, you're not achieving enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, blah, 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 enough, not enough. And then there's also the fear motivation, which if you don't keep achieving, you will never get those goals, and so therefore you will never be perfectly happy, you'll never be fulfilled, and therefore spending time doing nothing is basically just delaying all this fulfillment and putting more pressure on you, and bad things could happen if you don't stay in the program.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to reject you, you're going to lose money, you're going to suffer, you know, so you got to stay on the program. So fear, 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 and then the guilt, guilt, guilt.
Hmm.
You know, for some people, like women who really get trained with what we call the good girl syndrome, which is what you have to make everybody happy, right? And you have to be really nice. And all the time, you can't be angry. You got to be really nice,
and you got to look pretty.
Got to look pretty, look good, be really nice, and you got to make everybody happy, right? And so, for a good girl, for example, going off means like she's not taking care of somebody, and she should be taking care of somebody. She should be doing something for other people. What a selfish bitch she is, right? And so she'll feel horrendously guilty. Right?
So the slave driver is a collective thing as well, eh?
Absolutely, but it's installed personally.
Mm-hmm,
You see, when you're a child, you don't really have any, you know, the pressure to do things comes from your parents or guardians, right? So you don't have to do it to yourself. You let the external come and tell you what to do, right?
Right.
But then you get what is called an internalized parent or a conscience, right? Which is where you internalize your parents' dictums and the beliefs and philosophies and rules and so on. And part of their program, you borrow some of that before you get your own. And so therefore, if you don't clean your room, you can start to feel guilty. Or if you're mean to somebody and you've got the good girl syndrome and you got angry and said some stupid stuff, you're going to feel really guilty and really bad because your internal parent is criticizing you, right?
Mm.
Now, when you get into your 20s, however, and you get on your adult program, you dream your future there, and when you bring in the slave driver to keep yourself on track so you don't wander on and waste time, that is like the internal parent, but it's also like an internalized slave driver you get from your family. You get it from society. And this will tend to put you into the saddle, so to speak, that you got to ride this train to the end. You got to keep going. You got to keep at it. And as soon as that happens, you have it internalized. It's not the culture saying you're a lazy slug of bed. Get out of bed. What do you think you're doing getting up at 10 a.m., you know, or 11? You know, what's wrong with you? and all the shame that society says, if you're not productive, you're not, don't have any value. If you don't make any money, men, you have no value. So there's all this pressure, and it gets internalized in the slave driver.
Well, I want to jump from that into the fact that so many people have been spilled out of their homes and in quotes, security and jobs and a whole bunch of things. So people are, their program is failing on a mass level in many cases, not in all cases,
absolutely, and that's why suicides got so high.
Right.
And like the suicides amongst men, because, of course, for men, financial stuff is the... you know, the ultimate for them, for the ultimate arbiter of their value. So when they don't have that, they are panic and they feel like they're worth nothing, and they are so overwhelmed by the burdens of, say, wife, children, things like that, financial burdens that they cannot possibly fulfill. Instead of letting the burdens go, they kill themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, of course, then leaves the poor mother with the children and everybody who's been relying on them or working with them or being in partnership with them or needing them bereft, right?
But that judgment of the collective slave driver leaves a person who is no longer, in quotes, successful, really judged everywhere they go, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes the person feel so humiliated, so much of a failure, that he doesn't want anyone to see him. He's so embarrassed. He so hates himself because he obviously has demonstrated that he has no value. No one will love him. No one will value him. He is extricated. He is excommunicated from his culture. He is a failure. He is mm-hmm. worthless, and he might as well die.
Wow.
And that's where he comes from. Mm-hmm. That's where these men come from. And that's part of the man code.
Well, so
the
what
man code is all about this achievement track. And even though women have it too, it's really focused. It comes through the masculine hierarchy thing, right? Now, this is, as we're pointing it out, this is all about time,
mm-hmm.
okay? Which now on the planet is undergoing a big shift of perception. It's an opportunity to shift your perceptions about time, and instead of giving the program the power to motivate you, and the guilt and the fear, the power to motivate you, it's the opportunity to step out of the program and away from the slave driver, away from guilt and fear, and really to come into connection with the self in organic time and let time open for you.
Is that the gift of this Mayan time?
If people could use it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you see, how many people are talking about this? You don't see anything like this out there. A lot of people, they add, you know, their spiritual ascension and their spiritual path, and mentally they just add it to their list of achievements. I've got to achieve ascension.
Right.
I've got to work towards it, right?
I guess I just keep hearing it's the internal individual that's going to shift the collective in
that's
such a way.
That's exactly what's happening. And the second half of the 12-year cycle, these next 6 years, are going to be very, very pivotal, because it's in these next 6 years that the internal self is going to get the change that is pivoting right now. It's if you're going, you've been going along, you know, on the track, and now there's a, you know, when you're going down the street in the car and you're going to make a turn, you stop, look around, make sure there's no interference, and then you accelerate again to make a turn. But you can't go and make a turn at 60 miles an hour. It doesn't work.
No, well.
Right? So you have to come down to a slow point to make the turn,
mm-hmm.
right? This is where you are right now, evolutionary-wise. As a human species, you're making a turn right now. And the those who are the first waivers, and we've talked about them before, the first waivers are the ones making the pivot right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're the beginning of it. It's happening, though, on the whole planet. But it's going to take a few years for it to kind of spread like a ripple effect in the psyche and the consciousnesses in the collective of the planet, because the first waivers have to take the empowerment to be able to step off the program, to be able to shift to a new direction, to be able to love and value themselves intrinsically.
And make it cellular, hey?
And make it... yes, make it complete within themselves, mm-hmm. in the process of loving and valuing yourself, not only do you take yourself off the guilt and fear trip, but the guilt and the fear trip is directly related to illness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So you take yourself off a disease track. You actually increase your health tremendously.
So also, okay. It's such a rambunctious time. I call it more revelations as we find the deceptions in large systems. That's all a part of it too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Juicier,
you wouldn't be able to get that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The perceptions wouldn't hit you as so true if you weren't in a place of perceiving how the program and you are not one and the same. Until you get a certain distinction, until you're able to pull away from the demands and pressures that guilt and fear have of you and begin to love yourself, as you begin to value yourself, and every person on a spiritual trip knows they've got to love themselves, unless they're still in a Piscean age religion. Okay, the Piscean age religion is that you worship God or your guru or something like that, and you're really worth nothing. And you must learn how to love them and be obedient to them and all that kind of stuff.
And so sacrifice the self, right?
Yeah, basically, it's intended actually to demolish the ego. But what it does is doesn't do diddly squat to the ego, right? And then the ego gets very proud because I'm the worst.
Uh-huh.
You see, instead of being I'm
ironic.
The best and I'm the wonderful, oh, look at me, I'm just this horrible, worthless piece of crap.
Right.
And the ego gets off on that, you see. So essentially, it's really just been supporting the negative ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so really to get out of the ego, which is really the point of most of the Asian meditative practices with gurus and so forth, to love the guru doesn't mean to put yourself into a negative ego position about yourself, but in a sense to let go of ego about yourself in order to love yourself so that you have a healthy ego.
Mm-hmm. I heard that in the, I guess the Indian traditions and religions and so on, each person is taught that they're always, always loved, and it's so different from over here, right?
Well, in some places they're taught that they're loved, but we would say that most of the Indian traditions see an evolution and that you have to work and build, and you have to build good karma, which, i.e., get on the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do good karma, you have to do good acts, you know, mm-hmm. You have to meditate. When you meditate, you're absolving negative karma and getting points. You're on the program. It's just a spiritual version, right?
Right.
And but most of them are not taught that they are loved and taught to nest and to into that love and to accept it and to own that it's true.
Hmm.
Most of them are not taught that. They are basically taught in this old-fashioned kind of guru student, where the student is put through all sorts of tests and pressures and forced to do all sorts of, you know, self-derogatory kinds of things, or menial tasks, and so on. Initially intended to break down the ego arrogance,
mm-hmm.
but of course they didn't take into consideration the other side of the ego, which has come up more in the past 100 years than before. Why? Because this other ego has been the hidden part. The arrogance is obvious. You could say, oh, he's egotistical, he's arrogant, and what a prick, you know, whatever. And he's controlling, manipulative, bossy. Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of ego. But then you get the people who are pretending to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm only here to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so humble, I'm worth nothing. They're in huge ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
this was,
I think that's so true.
Right? But the thing is that the whole ego thing was really based in the Indian thing, where Indian men had to be arrogant. You know, if they were a higher caste, they could be arrogant. It was mm-hmm. a kind of a male hierarchy kind of thing, right? Women, on the other hand, never got into the hierarchy, okay? And women always were thinking that they were worthless.
Hmm.
So this whole negativity from the feminine the twisted, distorted, negative feminine has come in and contaminated the masculine, so that you're like stuck with ego on one side and stuck with ego on the other side.
Mm-hmm,
and to get to healthy ego, you have to let go of the program. And the only way you can do that is by loving yourself. And this is what the pivot is offering.
Excellent.
This is a powerful time, because if you notice, in the year 2012, you made a major expansion, personal expansion, in your perception of yourself, actually.
Yes.
If you could see what we see, you would have seen that everybody's aura is like was like a building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this year there was big pillars put around the outside, scaffolding and all sorts of stuff, and a big building was built around the smaller building. In a sense, what we're seeing is the structure of your energy field, of your aura, of your resonance, your vibration.
Hmm. That's wonderful.
Okay?
Yes.
Has been expanded this
mm-hmm.
year, and it has been constructed so that if you can pay attention to yourself, and this is a question for your listeners, have you noticed in the past year how different you perceive yourself as being?
Mm-hmm. I've
heard
more people.
How much bigger you are, how much more confident in just yourself and who you are, not necessarily what you're doing, but in your being. Your
yes.
being expanded.
Yes.
There's this, or at least the awareness of your being expanded, because your being is just gigantic. It's infinite, because it's soul. But to be able to be aware of more of it, that's what 2012 brought you. And it's in preparation for these next 6 years, going into the second half of the 12-year cycle, where you're going to be making, you're going to be taking actions. And we're going to say taking actions, not achieving per se,
mm-hmm.
right? Because achieving, the word achieving is, oh, man, is that stuck to the program? As soon as a person thinks of achieving something, bang, they're back in the program, right? So it's not about achieving, but there's things you're going to accomplish, things that you're going to do, but it's going to emerge from you, the being you. Right? And
yeah.
this is part of what we've been talking about for years, about the emergence,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is another stage of emergence.
Well, I'm back to time. I talk to a lot of people, myself included, who look back and go, I can't even believe that was me. I've changed so much over the last while.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
You're so different now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you are different. It's just that you're perceiving more of your greatness, more of your light. Now, when we say more of your greatness, we're not talking about ego.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're talking about
stepping out of programs.
That yes, because you're outside the program, you can connect with the divine. You can feel connected with your reality. You can feel how you belong
yes,
here.
Yes.
Right? Then you feel the love. You feel, and you give the love. You receive the love, and there's a sense of unimpeded flow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But as long as you don't get out of the program, you can't really get to that flow. You can't get to the effortless flow. You're going to resist, because most people are spending a good 60% of their lives resisting the program.
Yes.
You don't want to be pressured. You don't like feeling guilty. You don't like being anxious. You don't, you know, you don't like worrying. You don't like all that ongoing sense of failure that you're behind and you got to pressure yourself. Nobody likes that, right?
But it's interesting, because we have heard for a long time that humanity will split into like two different worlds, where some who are out of the program and expanding and loving won't be able to be in touch with the ones who are hanging on to the old reality. Is that something that you agree with, or you?
Well,
see?
Yes, we do. But that split was made quite a while ago. Okay, that split was made back in, oh my gosh, that was two cycles ago. Let's see, this cycle started in 2006. Okay, 12 years. Before that was 1994.
Okay.
Okay. 12 years before that was 1982. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's in 1982 and in 2006. It's at the beginnings of the cycle where there's the reality split.
Hmm.
So you have another about 6 years before you get another split. But the most pivotal split happened in 1982.
But is it not amping up right now?
What?
That split, to me, is becoming much more...
Oh, yeah, well, that's what happens when you reach the midpoint of a 12-year cycle.
Mm.
The midpoint is generally the most focused point of the whole 12-year cycle. You're discovering in the first 6 years, discovering and exploring. And then at the midpoint, you discover something that is pivotal, and that changes your life, and you make a choice, you make a change through choice.
Well, let's
you
look
take
at
your power and make a change. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, so let's look at some of the news things going on in the collective. Are they inducing more? Are they awakening people to the pivotal time? Are they?
Oh, yes. The,
you
the
know,
pivotal
like Newtown
focus
and,
time.
Mm-hmm.
You've been noticing building up to it. You notice that people want more power in their lives.
Right.
And they resent being controlled, manipulated, dominated, overwhelmed, and they really resent it. And you can see how how at various pivotal points, just prior to a couple of years before a pivot point in the center, or a couple of years before a new cycle, that as wrapping up and beginning to wrap up that phase, you get major changes, planetary changes, from a point of view of social change, right? So, for example, you got the, the midpoint of the cycle that started in 82.
Okay.
The midpoint of that cycle was 88. And that precipitated this whole breakdown of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
89, 90, right? And so there's all this new idea, oh my gosh, we're getting into the Aquarian Age, what in the heck does that mean? And all these planets were transiting through, getting into Capricorn, getting into Aquarius, and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of awakening people, so that in 94 they could begin this new cycle. And then in 6 years after that, you got year 2000. 2000 was an experience in which people around the world began to realize they were in some way connected. Everybody was connected on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
If you witnessed the whole millennium celebration, it went on for a whole 24 hours around the world as people were videotaped and whatever, doing their celebrations at their location. From one time zone to another, all the way around the planet, right?
Yep, that was exciting.
And you got to see that. Mm. And that was a whole new era, plus the Internet. You know, 2000 was like, okay, we've got the Internet now. And this has brought so many changes. You have now the technology around the planet is what kind of precipitated people, what we call the Arab Spring, and certain changes that were happening in Africa where people are standing up for themselves. People are taking charge because the leaders aren't,
mm-hmm.
right? And
what about here
leaders,
with the Occupy movement, which seems to have fizzled out?
Well, it did a little bit, but we would say that it didn't know how to organize itself.
Mm-hmm.
It was very passionate and it was very good that it happened. Because generally, people who are a little bit more on the left of in politics, right,
mm-hmm.
Generally don't have much motivation to go out and, you know, scream and holler and stuff like that. So it was really good to have people say, "Wait a minute, this isn't right," and they put the attention where it should have been all along on the big corporations, on the money people who are basically had been very conveniently prior to that time working in the dark. We call it the corporatocracy, and you and we have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fait accompli. Everybody knows about how the corporations are running everything.
Right.
And resenting it, right? And then you have like the Arab Spring, where people are able to take pictures of what's happening on their cell phones.
On their cell phones. Isn't that
world.
Amazing? Wow.
That was just phenomenal.
Yes.
And that was kind of an outgrowth of, if you remember, way back, Tiananmen Square, right?
Yes, yes.
Where they were actually filming the demonstrations. The Chinese government went into panic mode over that. They had to shut it down because the world was watching.
Right.
But now the world is watching everywhere, mm-hmm. right? You can't really hide as much, and information is being shared. So this is part of where we're heading, and we want to talk a little bit about where we're heading.
Yes, I'd love that.
Because we know that your listeners are saying, okay, yeah, I know about the past, duh, but what in the heck's coming?
But they do want to know about Newtown, and they want to know whether that's going to trigger some...
It is. It's definitely going to trigger some stuff, and it's going to trigger an awareness of several things. The initial impetus is going to be from people to do gun control. And gun control is only part of it. But it's got to also trigger people who are going to resist the violence in the media
mm-hmm.
and going to resist the wholesale medication of children.
Mm-hmm. That's okay? really important.
They have children in schools that as soon as they're too rambunctious, you know, they have to go and get a med. They have to get a script, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have school nurses that go to the classrooms and dispense medications to keep the kids from squirming, keep the kids from being, well, i.e. kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the top of it, a lot of the kids that are hyperactive, that are, you know, ADD and aggressive and so on, is because they are eating horrible food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, this is the corporations trying to keep the cover on as to how bad the food is, the refined food products are,
mm-hmm.
right? And the kids eating wholesome goodness cereal that is loaded with, you know, GMOs and sugar and stuff like that.
Do you see the GMO food? Because I think we spoil the food, we spoil the water,
mm-hmm.
and we spoil
right.
the collective brain.
So how can you expect that children who respond so strongly to everything are beginning to not have the proper biology in their gut to digest their food, right?
Right.
Children who are autistic are known to have very, very bad bacterial, fungal, candida loads early, way at the beginning in their intestines that don't allow them to handle, to absorb food correctly and put a huge load on their brain. Right,
really. And it's true that Alzheimer's people can't really digest either, can they? So there's
That's
an
right,
interesting
because
connection.
They've got too much of this fungal load in their digestive system,
mm-hmm.
and the digestive system is where you manufacture all your brain chemicals, or most
right.
of them. All right. So here you have wholesale medication, which is trying to address some symptoms that come from the really bad diet and the poisonous, you know, environment that the children are in. And then from the meds have side effects that are very dangerous. For example, the shooter in Connecticut had been on meds for 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? And some of the side effects of these meds is, you know, thoughts of suicide,
mm-hmm.
violence. Right? So got to get the information out, and we know the media, you know the media is not going to support that.
No, exactly.
Because it's interfering with their advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But that's the money value thing has to
this
soften.
Is the money thing, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's being more and more coming aware because in California that doing the GMO labeling Proposition 37 it turns out that the Monsanto and the other companies that were promoting GMO had to pay something like $45 million in advertising. They advertised on the internet, they advertised on the TV, starting, you know, 2 months before. All right, and the people who were putting it on the ballot were having to promote it by word of mouth. They were also having to, they could only wait until the very end to put out their ads, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as those ads came out near the end from the pro-labeling people, people's attention got on the issue, and people changed their mind about it. Hmm. So the people who voted early, this is an interesting fact that showed up, people who voted early, that is between 2 weeks and earlier at the election, and that was you could vote early a month, early in California or something like that, and people who voted early, went ahead and voted, generally all they had seen was the Monsanto pro-GMO ads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they voted overwhelmingly against the labeling because they thought that they were hurting the competitiveness of the California farmers, small farmers, which it really wasn't. It was all big farming operations and so on. And that it was going to cost people that couldn't afford it all this money. And so they had told all these lies, and that it was being supported by all these newspapers and politicians, which it wasn't. And so they bought all of that stuff, and they went and voted against it. But the people who voted on election day, if they had just only tallied those, then the labeling law would have passed.
Hmm.
Because people weren't aware. And so it's about getting a grassroots movement of awareness to really to overcome the big corporate financial monopolies, right?
Well, the election was so expensive, and it was a real crime, the amount of money put into that slanging of one another and
absolutely.
Advertising.
There's probably more money spent in this election, national election, than anywhere. And what is amazing is how much money that the Koch brothers and others like that put into the Romney campaign,
right,
and only to lose. They just lost a lot of money there, right?
But it's interesting how many people were soured by the whole process as a result
of
that.
Well, they are every 4 years. They're soured. People hate it that there's all this mudslinging and viciousness.
Oh,
they really hate it.
It was terrible.
People really don't like it. And if you really notice, people really want to have moderates, you know, as their leaders. They're afraid of people who are too extreme, left or right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the battle got into extreme positions.
Oh, it was gross. It was really gross. That kind of money could have helped so much of the country.
Well, of course, if they had put that money into something really useful, it could have made a difference.
Huge
real
difference.
Positive difference.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this change. How do you see it going? Do you see us getting control of the food supply again? Do you see the growth of organic, whether it's time or food?
Oh yeah, it's coming. It's coming. In fact, there is a national label GMO initiative that is growing very nicely in like 27 states.
Really?
To get a national initiative going.
That's
now, this
great.
Is going to course because on Obama's cabinet, he's got ex-Monsanto people there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got corporate representatives and people who were, what you might say, you know, real promoters of corporate control, mm-hmm. who are on his cabinet. A very poor choice of cabinet members.
Yeah, is he trustworthy? Sometimes when you hear that sort of thing, you go, do we trust him?
We don't really think that's the question.
Hmm.
What we really think is that how can we get the truth through to him?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obvious that he is controlled by corporate interests.
Mm-hmm.
You see, for example, he and Michelle put together an organic garden on the lawn.
Right.
Lawn, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
And organic. And if you notice, the corporations can say, how could you do that? You're not putting the pesticide that comes from our corporation, and you're not growing our particular, you know, bioengineered crops, and you're, you know, how can you say this, and how can you talk about eating good and organic food to help the children? That you can't do that, right? So he shut it up.
Wow. But he is making a fuss about gun control now. He's really been
right.
touched by Newton.
Well, you have to understand that there's no big corporations.
Right.
Huge corporations that make guns. What he's up against, though, is, of course, the Republican gun lobby, which is a whole bunch of, you know, we still believe in the Wild West
yeah.
type of mentality, right? And also in the violence, in violence, and really gets into media violence, and also have to consider all these people on meds. Mm-hmm. Most is getting to the point where the majority of the American population is on some medication.
Yeah, I know. And
it's very scary, but it has to be brought to light. And some of these tragedies, like the one in Connecticut, is bringing certain things to light. If people could really look at what's going on, it's the medication, it's the bad diet, it's the
video games,
and also it's the unwillingness to deal with negotiation, to deal with emotions, to be able to process what's really going on in a person, because on TV, people who can't seem to figure anything out just get a gun and shoot somebody.
Right, right.
And so you get all this rage pent up, and they don't have any idea what else to do except kill.
So
that's the culture.
Yeah, and if you watch TV at night, there's a murder every few minutes, actually. But
probably every few seconds if you were to look at all the cable, too.
Yeah, right? It's terrible. But so do you see...
It's really sad.
Do you see something hopeful out of that, or what do you see?
Well, we do, because at some point it's got to go over a line, because we could really lose a whole generation of young men.
Hmm.
A whole generation of them has been lost. They're spending their time in jail, learning how to be even more violent, right?
Right.
But what we're seeing here is an emergence, starting like an example would be the Arab Spring. They want power. They want to have a good life, and they're tired of being controlled and manipulated. This is to continue. The Occupy, even though it didn't seem to really follow through in this country because corporate interests are definitely too huge, and they were actually got the whole media to make fun of these people, to ridicule them.
Well, and they put in some laws against it, too, didn't they? They put in some laws against gathering, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Went really against the whole American way.
Right.
Right, because it's the whole American way to gather peacefully. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they did all sorts of stuff, and these corporations were getting away with it. Well, it makes people really upset, makes people really angry, and makes people feel powerless. But the trend here for everyone, personal, social, collective, is to move towards greater individual power. It's the Aquarian age, whereas an individual is part of the whole in unity and union and oneness, but is still distinct.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you know, there's all this snow there, but there's all these snowflakes, and they're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Aquarian age concept.
So they can learn to think for the greater good instead of just for their individual wealth.
No, instead of doing that, what they're doing is that they're learning how to love themselves and value themselves as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, to have love and compassion for others.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think for the greater good, but you don't value and love yourself, your thinking for the greater good is going to be tainted with your ego.
So do you
you're going to do stuff like a kind of the worst form of liberalism at the left end of extreme is, hey, the government, we're going to take care of you. You don't get to make any choices about your health care. You don't get to make any choices about your diet. We'll just take care of you.
Mm.
Don't worry. We'll take care of you. And if you make a mistake, oh, it's probably our fault. We'll put you into a program. You see? And so that's the big daddy state, which it's really good that, you know, you've actually got the Republicans complaining so that you don't really fall into that, because you could have, right?
Right.
However,
I doubt it here.
but nevertheless, more love, more power, more demand for personal freedom is emerging now.
Wonderful.
Okay, it's emerging worldwide. And with that comes more value of the self, more self-empowerment, more individual empowerment, more individualized freedom, and more choice. And demand that the external culture, that the world, give you more choice.
Hmm. Wonderful. We have to end this, which I really don't want to do, so I hope we'll get you back on soon. And I wish you the happiest, pivotal time. And thank you.
Well, we're having a blast.
Well, you're sending out blasts too, aren't you? Would you
yes,
like to?
And we just want to end with this message to your listeners.
Okay.
Love yourself. Have compassion for all, even your enemies. But the most important thing is to love and value yourself. Eat a good diet. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you so much,
Alexis. And then demand that the world listen to you. Demand that you and the world take off the program and become true and become real.
Yay.
Okay.
Present and real.
All right.
Thank you so much. Happy solstice.
You're certainly welcome, dear one, and we wish everyone a glorious, glorious year of 2013.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And people can find you and your latest events on galexisspirit.com.
Yes, GalexisSpirit.com. And we have weekly love and healing seminars on every single topic. And we would recommend that your listeners listen to some of these, particularly the ones for personal freedom, the ones for releasing rage and anger, the ones for understanding the slave driver and stepping into manifesting a glorious and wonderful life.
And they can download those if they subscribe, can they not?
Well, they can download individual ones from the website. You can go and find a list of all the titles and say, whoa, that one sounds really good. I want to know about that. And download that individual one, right? And then if you subscribe, then you get it a little bit cheaper, right? But you get it weekly.
Great. Well, thank you so much again. And for everyone listening, thank you for listening to Paradigm Shifters. And remember to be one. It starts with loving yourself. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for tuning in. Stay in tune. Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Blessings.